Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. I'm Hannah Belloli, Business Development Editor for the ACHR News. And today we are joined by Aaron Storer, Executive Vice President at Storer Services in Shreveport, Louisiana. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy
Absolutely.
To be here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. So Aaron, I like to start each episode off by asking each of my guests how they got their start in the industry and at what age. So tell me about that.
So I guess I've been in the industry about 15, 16 years now. And I had been in the Marine Corps, but this was a family business and had joined the business after I got out of the Marine Corps 15 years ago. And came in various roles, worked for Trane for a little bit in equipment sales, and then have done various management positions in the company since that time until I've been in this current role as the general manager for 6 years.
Right. So, and what does your day-to-day look like now as general manager, executive vice president, partner?
I guess kind of what you'd expect. It's a lot of contract reviews and hiring, recruiting, assisting sales guys on projects, dealing with problems, you know, the usual stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what sort of services does Storer Services offer? Services. Lots of services here.
Yeah, a lot of S's. So we're a commercial heating, ventilation, air conditioning contractor in Louisiana and East Texas and Southern Arkansas. And we do primarily, like I said, commercial heating, ventilation service, retrofit replacement, design build, mechanical contracting, building automation controls, and then we have parts and supply. Mm. And rental is a new division that we're getting into, HVAC rental. So,
okay. What was the decision-making process when deciding to go into rental?
Well, I think there's an opportunity there. I mean, part of that, we had been in rental, kind of dipped a toe in that a little bit for a long time, and really got into that as a result of the movie business. So used to be a lot of film production in our area. And so we would provide like package cooling equipment for the tents that the crew would eat lunches in. And after that wound down, we just kind of piddled in it. But then here lately, I think there's been a big opportunity because of some of like supply chain issues. We do a lot of work in industrial. So for them, if case of like MCC rooms, that kind of thing, if they lose air conditioning, they lose motor control, their control room shuts down, their production process stops, and they lose a lot of money. So, mm-hmm. We kind of found ourselves being forced into that. So we were just kind of in a position where we feel like we can invest in that and grow that side of the business. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so as a mostly commercial company, that's got to look a little bit different these days than it once did, maybe. I guess, you know, as people transition to working from home or more companies, you know, say, hey, there's this option now, does that change business at all? Or did you guys have a slow season? Or
So we're based in Louisiana, and I'll say this. So when COVID was hot and heavy, we definitely dealt with the same things that everybody else did. You know, you're dealing with government regulations shutting things down and all of that. But realistically, as soon as those bans were lifted, we never really stopped working. So we sent some of the office staff home to work during that time. But since the bans have been lifted, everybody's come back. So really, yeah, it's back to business as normal. The main thing that we're, I guess, the ripple effects of that, what everybody's dealing with is supply chain shortages, not being able to get this piece of equipment or that truck or, you know, the things that you need for the business. Everything just takes a little bit longer and costs a little bit more than it used to. But other than that, it's very similar.
Okay. So in the aspect of like companies around you, like everybody in Louisiana, you're saying not even just your company, other businesses, they're back to work as well.
I would say so. I would really in this area. I mean, even a lot of the commercial office buildings are back to occupancy. That maybe has come back a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of hard headed down here. So, mm-hmm.
And do you know, that just made me think of another question because it's so interesting to find like an HVAC contractor company that's mostly commercial these days? Because I feel like I've heard a lot of people switching to residential because not all areas are like Louisiana, obviously. So are the other air conditioning companies around you, or the HVAC companies, are they mostly commercial or are they mostly residential? Like, do you guys have a big niche kind of being a big commercial company there?
I would say we're the largest commercial service-based company here. So kind of our niche is we don't get into any plan and spec mechanical contracting. Mm. So most of the commercial contractors in this market are large construction, smaller service. So they may have 10 to 15 guys in a service department. Really, their primary business is greenfield, brownfield, new construction. And then, of course, there's residential, which is it's just a little bit different. There was one company that was doing commercial and residential, but they recently sold off the residential side, and so now they're pretty much focused on commercial. We're really the only independently owned mechanical contractor that doesn't do any point of spec construction and really buckles down and focuses on service.
Okay, all right. So that's kind of where you guys get your little niche there, where no one else can kind of compete within that.
Yeah, we have competitors, but I think, you know, being focused on that. I mean, a big thing that our kind of number one go-to is, what is our service contract base? What is the number of preventative maintenance contracts we have, on-site service contracts that we have? That number is kind of the number one. I always say it's the most important number that we watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as you've been in the industry now for 16 years-ish, you were saying you served in all these different avenues. Is there a certain part that's maybe your favorite or an area that you've grown more passionate about as you've continued on in your career in the company and the industry?
Yeah, I think that, I think anything you're going to do, there's good and there's bad. So I've worked, I'm a bit of a nerd myself. So I like the technical aspect of it. That side, I also worked in sales for quite a period of time. So, and I enjoy that. And especially the technical sale is very rewarding, but, the job that I'm in now, I get involved on occasion with a technical problem or this or that, but it's mostly, just dealing with problems, personnel problems. And then in a way, that's very rewarding too, because I mean, you get to see, you know, kind of got a broad overview of everything that's going on in the company, really trying to put key people into key places and develop them so that they can grow their side of the business. And so it's much more people focused where I'm at now, and I enjoy that too. Mm-hmm. So I wish I didn't have to read as many legal contracts as I do.
Yeah. Well, you did say you were a nerd and you like the technical aspect. So maybe.
Yeah. Not the legal thing.
Yeah. No, that's a complete different technicality.
Yeah. No, I like, physics and mechanical systems. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So does any of the work that you do now, which is more people focused, do you do any sort of training or recruiting through that? Or do you work with your training or recruiting programs?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that. And I'm sure there's a lot of your listeners are dealing with the same problem. I mean, our number one issue right now is finding people that have the skills to do the work that we need done. I mean, so it's just in general, it's hard to find guys that want to come in and do this job. It's almost impossible to find guys that want to do the job and also already know how to do it. So our kind of strategy, I mean, we'll get lucky and maybe pick up an experienced journeyman technician, here and there, but by and large, we've kind of changed our whole focus onto getting into the high schools, working closely with, technical colleges to recruit guys out of those programs to come in that really don't know anything, but just kind of more trying to hire them for their character and then put them through our training program or our apprenticeship program, which is a 5-year program to teach them more or less how to be a journeyman on the commercial industrial side of the business.
Mm. And so is the main way that you guys are recruiting through going into these high schools or vocational schools, or do you do any sort of that through social media or online?
You name it, we do it. So it's a lot of career fairs, a lot of technical school talks and We have a partnership with like the Caddo Career Center, which is Caddo is the parish that we're in. So the Caddo Parish School System has like a technical training track that they send some students through. We have a partnership with them. But then, yeah, of course, we do a lot of social media marketing, Facebook, LinkedIn, of course, our website. And we've even gotten creative around, you know, going out and trying to find guys, you know, trying to cast a broad net on who is out there that we could talk to, and then trying to get creative about how we can go pursue them and have a conversation about working here. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It kind of runs the gamut.
Right. And have you found, I guess, a lot of success in your guys' area with getting young talent to your company, or is it mostly older people who've had, you know, some experience, or what are you dealing with?
We've had good success recruiting a younger guy. I would say we as an organization, generally speaking, we're, you know, we don't get me wrong, we still got several more seasoned guys that work here. But as far as most of our newer employees are under the age of 30 easily, with very little experience that we're bringing in. In fact, I'd say in a lot of cases, we're getting ready to kick off our next apprenticeship class. And we had, our apprenticeship class, we skipped the summer. So it starts in September, kind of runs like a typical calendar school year. We have right now 70 applicants. I would say probably of the 70, 85% are under the age of 25. And of course, almost none of them have any experience, but they're interested in the opportunity. It's a good career. It's a good trade. We spend a lot of time promoting that. So we'll probably end up hiring of those 70 applicants. We'll probably hire 15 into the program this year.
That's amazing to have 85% of those be like under the age of 25. What are your employees? What do they say to them? Like, what is, you know, what's their focus when they're talking to them about, you know, how did you bring those young talent in?
That's a good question. So I think a lot of it, we spend a lot of time on the marketing message, which is probably a whole nother conversation as far as what we're putting out there. And because, you know, interestingly, commercial heating, ventilation, air conditioning, that's not a trade that is often discussed with people in high schools. I mean, when you're in high school, you're talking about one of two things. One is I'm going to go to college. Or two is I'm going to go do kind of more, maybe one of the more well-known trades, welder, plumber, maybe even those kinds of things. And so we kind of focus in on this message that, you know, commercial heating, ventilation, air conditioning is the best career that most people have never heard of. Mm-hmm. And then of course, yeah, we bring them in for the open house. We have guys that have been through that program, generally third, fourth year guys that sit there and talk about their experiences. And I think they're very open and honest with them that, you know, it's a career that they, you get to work with your hands, but it's not backbreaking. It's, you got to use your head as well. And, very mechanical. You can make a great living doing this. There's a lot of opportunities for advancement and improving your skills. And I think, you know, it's a very compelling message.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we as an industry have historically not done the best job of promoting it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stereotypes too around the trades in general, and then the HVAC, especially when you get into the plumbing, you know, all of that. So I guess it's our duty to tell people, hey, there's more to us than you think.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, and there's a high demand for it too. So it's like, I mean, there are some of our senior technicians that legitimately make more money than their spouses, and their spouses are doctors and nurses and pharmacists and that kind of, so I mean it can be very lucrative if for, you know, somebody that wants to get in, learn, apply, work really hard.
Absolutely. And so once you get one of these, you know, young apprentices or HVAC contractors or whoever they are to your company, the young talent that you bring in, how do you keep them engaged? Like, how do you keep them to want to keep working in the industry? Because that's got to be a whole nother thing.
It is, yeah. So you got some good questions. it's always a challenge. I mean, especially with a company like ours. I mean, we've got right now right at 125 employees, and so and we've continued to grow year over year. It's I think 9/10 of it is trying to create a situation where somebody can join the company and they know that somebody cares about them and is trying to help them to be successful. So it's a lot of what we've tried to focus on is growing up that kind of that field supervisor level of leadership. We spent a lot of time on leadership training for those guys. And what does that mean to be a leader and be a mentor to some of these younger guys and how to resolve their issues and try to give that field supervisor leadership, you know, as much autonomy to be able to make decisions as close to the problem as they can to work with these guys. And I think that's been a big focus for us. I think it's a good leadership, good communication, and that's all part of that organizational structure. And then just, obviously the training, but I think just trying to do the right thing, trying to be fair with people, knowing that anybody can come in and talk to me about anything they want to, and I'm not going to get mad at them about it. You know, we're going to legitimately try to fix problems that happen. We can't always fix every problem, but I had a conversation with the other guy that was really a young guy, and I guess had never paid taxes before, and so when he saw how much Uncle Sam was taking out his check, he wanted to come talk to me about it. I said, "Well, buddy, that's one of those problems I can't fix. So we all have to pay taxes." But anyway, so yeah, but I think that's 9 times out of 10, it's just giving people a way that when there's an issue, they can bring up that issue, and then they can see that we're working to try to get it resolved, which is easy to say and hard to do. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when you can get them to learn, you know, a little bit about life and they can see that they're becoming a better man or a better woman through the career, then it also gives them, you know, more of a reason to stay or more of a reason for their spouse to want them to stay in the, you know, in the field at least.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, there's a piece of that too. And of course, I mean, everybody's different. So I don't want to cast any broad generalizations, but there are guys that come into the program that maybe come from a situation that they didn't have, a father figure in their life. So some of these field supervisors really kind of are taking on that role in some ways. And so they end up coaching them, not just in how to overhaul a centrifugal chiller, but they're coaching them on, hey, here's how you manage your money, or here's how you, you know, deal with life. So, I mean, that's definitely part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine too, the training that you guys offer, is it for every, since you guys have so many services that you offer, you know, the building management and controls and all of that, do you offer training for each of those services that you offer?
It's all very interrelated. So our apprenticeship program is very much focused on how to be a service technician, which includes everything from basic theory to refrigeration cycle to building automation controls and how to diagnose and troubleshoot that. And then as far as some of the other trainings we do, once you understand like air conditioning application, it's all kind of very interrelated. We don't necessarily get into like our construction side, we don't necessarily get into teaching people the mechanical codes or all that. We teach them application. How do I take this room and say, here's how many tons of cooling I need on it, here's the water flow rates and all that. So we kind of focus in on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, Store Services also has something called AC Clinic, which is a sort of like HVAC boot camp in itself, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how I guess it even became to be a thing?
Yeah, so that's actually something we've been doing for a long time. And it is... That's a good way of putting it. It's a crash course in heating, ventilation, air conditioning from a commercial standpoint. And so we really kind of started that out as for customers. So you'd be surprised the amount of customers we have out there that are in a role in HVAC maintenance that are really not, don't have a background in commercial HVAC maintenance. They maybe got a residential background. A lot of times these guys may be electricians and had never, you know, so they come from another trade and they're crossing over and they just don't know as much about the air conditioning side as they need to. So we started kind of doing that as a high level crash course overview on here's what it is and here's what you're doing and here's the different things you're going to bump into and here's, you know, theories and here's strategy on how to operate a chilled water plant, et cetera. And then that's kind of expanded out to where now really every employee that we hire goes through that. I say if they're going through the apprenticeship program, they go through the apprenticeship program, but everybody else goes through that AC clinic. So even if you were to come work in our accounts payable, you're going to attend that class. So you have kind of a broader understanding of what you're doing. I mean, granted, your job is to pay, you know, write the checks and pay the bills, but it gives you kind of a deeper understanding of, okay, here's who we are as a company. I think it connects us a little bit better. So we have the same terminology.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that sounds like something even someone like me who writes about it would benefit from, to, you know, actually understand what it takes to install a system or all the facets and avenues within it. That's awesome.
I think you would. In fact, if you wanted to come down, I'll give you a free seat. You can sit in there and we won't even charge you.
Oh, wow. That's good to know. Good to know. Yeah. All right, Aaron. Well, thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for joining us. If anybody wants to know more about Store Services or wants to get in touch with you or wants to know about this AC Clinic HV Bootcamp thing you got going on, where can they find that?
Sure. You can look us up online. It's probably the easiest way. It's www.storeservices.com. And more or less, you can see, learn about our company, figure out how to connect with us. If you, you know, apply for a job or just get more information or whatever you're looking for, you can generally find it out there. So
wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. And for all you Newsmakers podcast listeners out there who want some more episodes, you can find us at www.achrnews.com. Until next time.